Now, last week we saw this topic called Three Ways to Be a Fool, right? Remember that? And last week we saw that God's word can be very, very direct. In fact, it can be so direct that it offends some people. Some people who read the word of God will feel offended, and some people have. But yet God will say what he needs to say, and he, in a sense, won't mince his word. He will call sin, sin. He won't try to make it sound lighter than it is. He won't try to say, oh no, this is just an honest mistake. He won't. If it is sin, he'll say, this is sin. And he'll call for repentance. He'll call for change. But you are assured that his forgiveness is there for us. So last week, we also saw and understood that what the Bible is saying, we need to understand it from the words that is used at that point of time. We cannot use today's understanding of the word to interpret something that is years ago. So in our modern day, when we read the Bible, we always need to go back and understand what does God say, or what does the word say at that point of time? What is the understanding of the word at that point of time? So we looked at the word fool. And a lot of times we think fool means to have a silly person, right? Like playing April Fool's joke. So we think it's something silly. And our impression of a fool is a joker, right? But God looks at it differently. And we saw last week three ways to be a fool. And we saw how God looks at a person in whom he calls a fool. So to have a recap, three ways to be a fool. The first is this, to not believe in God. Right, and then we looked at the verse in Psalms 14, verse 1 or 53, verse 1. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So if you don't believe in God, God calls you a fool. All right. The next one is to not know God. In Jeremiah 4:22, it says this, for my people are foolish, they have not known me. Okay, so again, he talks about his people. So even though you believe in God, but you don't know God, and this know is not a head knowledge, it's having a relationship, an intimate relationship with God. And if you don't have that, God calls you a fool. The third is this, to not do God's word. Matthew 7:26. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. So even you can hear it, you can have so much head knowledge about the word of God, about the Bible, but if you don't do it, God calls you a fool. Right? You need to do it. So today we're going to continue on, right? We're going to see number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So seven more ways to be a fool. So let's look at the next verse in Proverbs 18, verse 2. It says this, Proverbs 18:2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. That's what a fool is. No delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. The next verse, Proverbs 24:7, wisdom is too lofty for a fool. Lofty means too high, something that he cannot understand. So the fourth way, from here you can see these two verses, the fourth way to be a fool is to live without understanding and wisdom in God. That's what a fool is. A fool does not delight in understanding the things of God, but only wants to express his heart, only wants to say what he needs to say. They want to be heard. They're basically selfish. They want to express themselves. They want to be heard. They want people to acknowledge them. They want people to say, hey, you're right, you're right, okay, you're right. They don't want to take time to understand others. They want others to understand them. Okay? Friends, God gave us 2 years and one mouth. So let's try to use twice as much listening than speaking. Right? And the wisdom of God is way over a fool's head. They can't grasp the things of God. It's like Jesus saying to the people, they have ears but they do not hear, they have eyes but they do not see. Right? And one of the reasons is because they don't delight in the things of God. Friends, a fool lives based on his own desires, what he wants, what he sees, what he wants to hear. In fact, Proverbs 12 verse 5 shows us the fifth aspect of a fool. So let's look at 12 verse 15. Proverbs 12 verse 15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. All right, let's read this together. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So a fool looks at things that he is right in his own eyes. And the Bible shows us the contrast between this, which is the wise person who heeds counsel, who listens to counsel. A wise person will listen to wise counsel and do them. But a fool will just do whatever he wants. Right? And even when wise counsel is given, the fool will continue to do whatever he wants. So to be a fool, the fourth way is to live without understanding and wisdom in God. And the fifth way is to be right in his own eyes. Okay? Now, when we go through the book of Judges, we see a theme that runs throughout the book of Judges. And this theme is summarized in the very last verse of the book of Judges, Judges 21, 25. It says this, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. God's people ignored God as king. God, his original intention is always to be the king over Israel. But the people rejected God as king. And they demanded, "We want a physical king." So because the people demanded, "I want a physical king," and totally ignored God as king. And not only that, they ignored the authorities that God has placed over them. And in the book of Judges, these authorities are called judges. Okay? So they are not kings. They are called judges because God is king. And the people ignored all of this. They wanted a physical king. And you know why they wanted a physical king? Because everybody else around them has a physical king. It's like comparing, hey, that nation has physical king, that nation has physical king, we also want. Right? So they just simply did whatever was right in their own eyes, ignoring God, ignoring the authorities that God has put over them. So in a way, simply put, they just did whatever they wanted to do. Now, when you reject God and his authority, you're basically doing what is right in your own eyes. That's what happens. And this society and this culture we live in is doing that. We do what we want to do. And people have said this before. Who are you to tell me what is right or wrong? Right? Imagine you tell someone, they may not tell you in the face, but inside it's like, "Whoa, who are you to tell me what is right or wrong?" And so this society and culture we live in today, every individual determines for themselves what is right or wrong. Even though God's word may say what is right or wrong, they say, "No, I don't care. I determine what's right or wrong." And if anyone ever tries to tell them what is right or wrong, another common phrase that comes out is, "Who are you to judge me?" So these are very common things that appear in our culture today. Now, it's one thing for someone who does not believe in God to do that. But it's a whole different thing for people who says, "I believe in God," and yet they are doing this. It's just like the Israelites in the book of Judges. They did what was right in their own eyes. And many Christians today are doing the same thing. They do what is right in their own eyes, disregarding God and his authorities. Now, have you heard of a man by the name of Aleister Crowley? Good. You all never heard of him. Good. And you'll understand why in a short while. Aleister Crowley wrote a book called The Book of the Law, which is the central sacred text of thelema. Now, thelema is a Greek word, basically means will, W-I-L-L. Okay, and some people regard thelema as a religion. Some have regarded it as a religious or a spiritual philosophy. But thelema has impacted many antichrist and occultic groups. All right. Now the word. So according to Aleister Crowley, he said this. He said a form of a spirit being. He calls it non-corporeal being. Corporeal means physical body. So a non-corporeal being, a spiritual being, appeared to him. And this spiritual being's name is Awas, spelled A-I-W-A-S-S. Awas, Awas, Awas. Okay, whatever. Awas, okay? This spiritual being contacted him and dictated the text to the book of the law to him. And this was done in 1904. So this book that he wrote, at the very beginning of the book, It says this: the book of the law as delivered by AWS to the priest of the princess who is 666. Okay, so we know this is clear cut, right? It is anti-Christ. So here comes the thing. Do you know what is the central law of the Lema? What is the central law that they uphold? Okay, I know none of you know, which is a good thing. You haven't read this book before. And the central law is this. And this is in Old English, okay? Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. There is no law beyond do what thou wilt. Old English. Now, to translate Old English to modern day English, do what thou wilt is basically do what you will, or do whatever you want to do, or do whatever you like, or do whatever you will to do, right? Now, Satanism today holds onto this law. Satanism holds this creed of do what thou wilt as part of their law, because Satanism promotes indulgence, right? And do whatever you want to do is indulgence, right? And doing whatever you feel like doing is indulgence. So the Satanist equates independence from God with Satanism. And of course, as a believer, we are dependent on God, not independent of God. So in Satanism, anything which is independence from God, they equate it to Satanism. So basically, do what thou will is, in a sense, Satanism, because, hey, you do whatever you want to do. You totally disregard God, disregard God's word. That is satanic principle, right? So the Satanist defines Satanism as freedom from God's law. I don't have to do anything in accordance to God's law. Basically, if it feels good, do it, right? Now, can you see how much Satanism has infiltrated our society and culture? Right? Which means that the promotion of do what thou wilt is the promotion of satanic principles. Right? So have you ever given anybody advice? Oh, do whatever you want to do, lah. Do whatever you feel like doing. Now, people who do this will not think that they're following satanic principles. They won't. But Satanists and Satanism, what they often do is they keep a low profile. They don't want to come out and say, hey, we're Satanists and you all have to follow me. You won't see them do that. But their principles are infiltrating our society. All over in our culture, their ideology is everywhere. And sad to say, it has also infiltrated the Church of God. Because as long as you see people in the Church of God, His people, doing whatever they feel like doing, they are following satanic principles. Okay, let's go on. So the fifth way to be a fool is to be right in their own eyes. Let's take a look at Proverbs 12:15. Yep. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. All right. So what we've seen so far is how to be a fool is this. Number four is live without understanding and wisdom in God. Number five, be right in one's own eyes. Which leads us to the sixth way, Proverbs 15:5. It says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. And the next verse, Proverbs 17:10, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. So to summarize, the sixth way to be a fool is to despise counsel and correction. To despise counsel and correction. Now, do you know what despise means? It's used a lot in the Word of God, but we don't use it much in our daily language. Despise means hate. Hate or abhor. Abhor is also a word we don't use very much. Right? That means you detest. So which means that you hate counsel and correction. Again, who are you to judge me? Who are you to tell me what's right or wrong? Right? You hate counsel and correction. So a fool is one who hates counsel and correction. Who are you to correct me? And a fool lives as if he is the center of his universe, or the center of the whole universe. And he thinks he is God. They do what they want to do, and they put in their efforts to build their own kingdom. the theme song for a fool is this: it's all about me. Or I did it my way. Right? And when you try to bring counsel and correction to a fool, the verse actually says this: it is more effective for a wise man, back to the previous one, rebuke is more effective to a wise man than 100 blows to a fool. So can you imagine? The Bible gives us this picture of someone given 100 blows. And the Bible says, hey, it's more effective if you rebuke a wise man to give that 100 blows to a fool. Because a fool just won't pay attention and won't do. And that's how it is. And that's how the proverb describes it. It will be ineffective if you try to correct a fool. So how to be a fool? Despise counsel and correction. Now let's look at the seventh way to be a fool. Next verse. Luke 12, 20 to 21. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Sounds familiar? This is the parable of the rich guy who was building more barns, right? So this is that parable of the rich man. He planned to tear down what he has to build bigger barns and bigger barns and bigger barns, all right? But he didn't realize that night his life would be taken from him. So this man is what I called him having the bigger barn syndrome. Okay, the bigger barn syndrome. There is never enough for him. Always have to be more. Always have to be bigger, better. Because the more I have, the better I feel about myself. The more barns, the bigger the things I have, the better I feel about myself. I have achieved all these things in my own effort. Oh, I'm such a great man. Can you see how great I am? Look at all the wealth. Look at everything that I have. This is my kingdom. These are my buildings. These are my barns. But the question is, what would happen after he dies? All right? And all that he has accumulated, all that he has, would not go with him. He can't take it with him and will be left for somebody else. So a fool is one who lays up treasure for himself. He is selfish and is not rich towards God. He is basically stingy towards the things of God. Now in the Psalms, it gives us an insight into this kind of a person. So the next verse, Psalm 49, verse 10 to 13. It says this: "Likewise the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thoughts is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own name. Nevertheless, though in honor does not remain, he is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish." So a fool thinks that what he has built in this life will last forever. And he thinks that what he has will pass on from generation to generation to generation to generation. And his name will be hallowed, will be praised by his great, 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 great grandson. How many of you know your great, 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 great grandfather's name? Nobody, right? This is the way a fool thinks. He thinks that what he has, wow, it'll go on forever, all his generations after him. And they will praise him. They'll say, "The great so-and-so has built this wonderful kingdom for us." There's an interesting article in the Time magazine. And the title of the Time magazine, you can Google it and read it on your own. It says, 70% of rich families lose their wealth by the second generation. 70% of rich families lose their wealth by the second generation. And one of the problems is this: the person who made the riches, who made all the money, did not raise their children to continue to do it that way. He's rich. And the children, because they grew up in the riches, did not grow up in the kind of environment and the society and the culture that he was raised. So they're different. And very often, the children or the children's children will squander away what he has tried to build. And that's why all these people lose their wealth by the second generation. They think that they are building their kingdom that will be handed down from generations to generations, but nothing lasts that long. Nothing. Their houses don't last forever. Besides, wars will happen. Invaders will come in. They'll take what is not theirs. So even you may have it, but who's to say? In 10 years, 20, 30 years, maybe a war breaks out. World War III breaks out. Armageddon breaks out. All that you built, into ashes. Friends, everything on this earth now will perish. And it will decay, and it will rot. It will spoil, and it will break down. But why accumulate so much gold? When at the end of the day, we go to heaven, the streets are paved with gold. You're trying to store up pavement. Think how absurd that is. And God knows us already. And God knows how our minds are, how our thoughts are. And that's why he says to lay up yourself treasures in heaven. So let's look at the next verse in Matthew 6, 19 to 21. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Friends, when we die, of course, unless Jesus comes before we die, right? We can't bring anything we have here to heaven. All our property, all our money, all our riches, we can't bring it along with us. And it'll be given to someone else. Let's say, even if it goes to your children, they may not be even be able to handle the wealth that you give to them. So the Bible shows us a fool is selfish. He lays up treasures for himself, and he's stingy towards the things of God. He seeks his own interest. He builds his own kingdom. And he asks, what's in it for me? Whenever he does something, he's like, what's in it for me? Right? In Isaiah 32, verse 5, the next verse, it says, the foolish person will no longer be called generous. He may be called generous initially, but the foolish person will later on not be called generous because a fool who holds tightly to his money is not generous. He may seem generous. He may do things to be seen as generous, but his intent is not to be generous. He gives for something else, maybe a kickback. Maybe he gives so that his name can be on this plaque on a wall somewhere, which also will perish. Okay? It won't last forever. Or he gives so that he can be praised by others. Wow, this person is so generous, such a giving person. Or to show others how generous he is. But to him, his 50 cent coin is bigger than a bullock cart wheel. That was a saying years ago, right? Now, there's another common saying that goes like this. A fool and his money are soon parted. And another common saying, penny wise, pound foolish, right? So let's recap the past four things. How can you be a fool? Number four, live without understanding and wisdom in God. 5, be right in one's own eyes. 6, despise counsel and correction. And 7, be selfish and stingy with the things of God. Let's continue to the next one. Let's look at Proverbs 26, verse 11. This one says, a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Right? A dog returns to his own vomit. So a fool basically doesn't learn from past experience and mistakes. He repeats them over and over and over again. There is a kind of a stubbornness in him where he just wants his way and he keeps doing the same thing over and over and refuses to change. He may not even see there's anything wrong with it. And so he keeps doing the same mistake over and over and over. Take a serious hard look at your life and what you've gone through. and learn from your past experiences and your past mistakes. You know, there's really no shame in making mistakes. We all make mistakes, right? There is no shame in making mistakes, but there is a problem when we don't learn from it. That's where the problem lies. And a fool does not learn from his past experience and mistakes, and he keeps making it over and over again. Okay, let's look at the next one. Proverbs 10, verse 18. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. The next verse, Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. Wow. See that? Any fool can start a quarrel. So if you like to quarrel, hey, see that? Any fool can start a quarrel. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12 to 14. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies his words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? Friends, I'll summarize these three verses that we've read to this. A fool does not choose his words wisely. A fool does not choose his words wisely. He just talks. And like it says here, a fool also multiplies his words. Talk and talk and talk and talk. In fact, the more you talk, the more problems you're going to come up with. All right? He just says whatever he wants. Let's look at the next verse, Isaiah 32, 6. For the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fall. So even in this passage, you can see, you can identify the fool is by what he says, because he will speak foolishness. And not only that, the Bible points a deeper area, which is the heart. So what is in the heart? It will work iniquity. And iniquity is sin. All right. So in here, you can see the different areas. The first is to practice ungodliness, which is basically to ignore God's instruction, to do what is against God's word. The second is to utter error against the Lord. Basically, it's slander. The third one, to keep the hungry unsatisfied. Selfish. I keep everything to myself. I won't even help others. The fourth one, to cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Wickedness, causing others to fail. There's a plotting, there's a wickedness in him. This is the heart of a fool. Iniquity, sin. So we have 9 already, right? Okay, so one last one for today. Let's make it 10, right? Proverbs 28, verse 25 and 26. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Do you see that? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Have you heard people tell you, listen to your heart? Just listen to your heart and go where you feel you want to go. Ever hear this kind of advice? But what does the word say? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. A fool trusts in his own heart, but the wise trust in God. Now, why is trusting in our own heart so dangerous? Let's look at the next verse in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, not some things, all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, of course, the answer to that question is God knows it. God knows your heart better than you do. Because you've grown up with this part of you and you think you are normal. You measure others based on I'm normal, everybody who's different from me is abnormal. Right? So that's how you look at things. That's how you look at the world. But God is saying your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And only God knows it. So a person who trusts in his own heart is a fool. So we have 10 now, right? 10 ways to be a fool. 3 from last week, 7 this week. Now, these 10 are not exhaustive, right? I can come up with another 10 more. You can search the Word of God, you can come up with more. But these are just 10 ways to be a fool. Go find the rest yourself, right? So let's recap the 10 ways to be a fool. Number 1, to not believe in God. Number 2, to not know God. Number 3, to not do God's word. Number 4, live without understanding and wisdom in God. Number 5, be right in one's own eyes. Number 6, despise counsel and correction. Number 7, be selfish and stingy with the things of God. Number 8, does not learn from the past. Number 9, does not choose his words wisely. And number 10, trust in his own heart. So I'm going to attempt again this week. Anybody here wants to be a fool? Anybody here wants to be a fool? Please raise your hand now. Nobody? Nobody? So anybody wants to be wise? Yeah? Right. So 10 ways to be wise. Okay, 10 ways to be wise. And no, in the Word of God, wise doesn't mean head knowledge. Okay, so let me tell you again, when you see the word wisdom and wise, it doesn't mean head knowledge. It means doing it. You have to practice it, live it out in your life. So 10 ways to be wise. The first, believe in God. Number 2, have a relationship with God. Number 3, obey God and His word. Number 4, live with understanding and wisdom in God. Number 5, live to be right in God's eyes. Number 6, accept counsel and correction. Number 7, be giving and generous. Number 8, learn from past experiences and mistakes. Number 9, choose one's word wisely. And number 10, trust in the Lord. Now, you know what I've come to realize when I was preparing this message? It's actually easier to be a fool than to be wise. Yeah, it is. And we take an honest, hard look at our own life, we'll see areas that we've been fools and been foolish. Every single one of us. But if we trust in God and choose to do the things of God in His power, in His ability, by the power of His Holy Spirit, we move from being foolish to being wise. And the words from the Apostle Paul to his spiritual son Titus is such an encouragement. And you see the areas that we've talked about in this that he's writing to Titus. So Titus chapter 3 verse 1 to 7. Verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Verse 3, for we ourselves were also once foolish. You see that? The Apostle Paul admits, hey, I was a fool. I did foolish things as well. So he tells his spiritual son Titus, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So friends, we've all been foolish, every single one of us. But we can choose today to be wise, to change our lives, to trust in God, to trust in His Holy Spirit, to do things by the power of His Holy Spirit. And that's how we move from foolish to wise. Let's pray. I know every one of us want to be wise. You've put up your hands just now. So let's pray right now and ask God to come and to teach us. And not to just say, I trust in my own heart, but to learn to trust in God. That His ways are higher than our ways. That what He says is true, even though we may not experience it right now, but to know that if we choose to do it His way, we'll eventually see His promises come to pass. Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves today to You, Lord. We want to be wise, Lord. We were foolish, Lord. And we admit it, Lord. We see our own foolishness, Lord, in the things we do, in the thoughts, in the intents of our hearts. But Lord, this day we want to be wise, Lord. We want to know You and have a relationship with You, Lord. Lord, there are so many things. There are 10 things here. And Lord, we pray that God, You teach us and guide us every single day of our lives, Lord. Show us, Lord. And Lord, we pray right now that You will put in us a desire for Your word, Lord. A desire to read Your word. A desire to want to know You more. And Lord, through it all, Lord, our lives will be changed and our lives will be transformed, Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask that You come and just abide in us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord Jesus. Through Your Holy Spirit, speak to us, Lord. That we might hear You and we might know You, Lord. And Lord, we want to live in accordance to You and Your word, Lord. Not to trust in our own wisdom, but to trust in You. So Lord, we pray that even in this week ahead, Lord, that when we encounter a situation that requires us to make a decision, that Lord, that You would remind us, that we would also remind ourselves what we heard today, Lord. That we will choose to be wise and not choose to be foolish, Lord. So, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for what You're showing us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.